Good day, good people. Welcome to the Coastal Noise Podcast. This is episode number 46, recorded on the third floor of Crest Live in the Vieux Marché of downtown Biloxi. Today on the show, we had the Crest Live team with returning guest Chase Taylor and new faces to the Coastal Noise Podcast, Trevor Reed and Joe Ball. A few quick announcements before we begin the show. Of course, if you want to hear more podcasts, you can go to coastalnoise.com, go to the podcast page. There you can have access to all the podcasts that we've done. You can stream straight from the website. You can download the file for your MP3 player or your smartphone. Or you can go to the YouTube link and subscribe. And most of our most recent episodes are there and can be listened on YouTube via that method. There's a new blog entry that I did this past weekend. It was a weekend music roundup that took me from the Hard Rock Biloxi, where Eddie Dixon opened up for Roscoe Bandana, both groups putting on a great performance. And then the next day, I went down to Pascagoula for the Beachfront Blues blues. Anyway, it brought me to a place called Scranton's, where Fat Man Squeeze performed, and then the following day went down to Magnolia Springs, Alabama, where they had the Magnolia Springs Seafood Festival, where I got to see bands like Mass Confusion, the Mulligan Brothers, and Willie Sugar Caps. I also happened to run across that weekend the Truett Williams Band as well, and some other great acts, and just took a lot of pictures of all the performances and wrote up a little blog piece for it. So if you'd like to check that out, and of course, please like and share. The music page, I have a new recording, relatively new, Baby You Gotta Be Live at the Irish Coast Pub with Eddie Dixon on drums, and hopefully we'll have more recordings coming soon. Please, of course, best way to support the show, like, share anything that you feel is something that is beneficial to the coast. We're all about spreading art here, all about spreading, or rather expanding people's knowledge of whether it's local arts or just things that we're into. You can also like the Coastal Noise Facebook page, follow on Twitter, you can follow me, Stephen Lawson, and I'm also new to the Instagram game, but it's something that I've kind of gotten into in the last month or so. Stephen J. Lawson is the Instagram. So let's get into the show. We talked about a lot of good stuff, everything from art events to midget wrestling to the Linen Tour Bus coming for the Battle of the Bands. They're getting Rent, and there's a first theatrical performance. Talk about the Young Guns giving back to the community. Apparently there might be some ghost activity that may be going on at Crest Live, so apparently some professionals came and took a look at it, so interesting story behind that. And we talked about the Biloxi Shuckers, what it's like to have $5,000 worth of Fago showers at a live music performance, and of course, you know, we dive into a little bit about the Afro Men incident that occurred in Mardi Gras. Talked about a lot of great local artists too, a lot of mentioned names, but I'll save that for the show. So we'll go ahead and get right into it. Trevor's got us today on the intro and outro music, so I'll just skip the theme song and just go straight into it. This is Coastal Noise Podcast number 46. Enjoy. Oh, and before I forget, if anybody has any suggestions of a story of some sort or some plans for for April 20th, which is tomorrow, from this recording, this release date, if anybody has any info of a story of some sort of interest that I might be able to cover, I know there's something, a rally of some sort going on in Jackson, But if there's anything out there, you know, from a professional standpoint that you'd like me to know about that I could, you know, get into, feel free to drop me a line. So thanks. On to the show.
All right. We ready? We're all feeling right. Good. We're rocking and rolling.
Our kickstart.
You got us some opening music there, Trevor?
Oh, no, I don't.
No?
What do y'all want? Yellow Good card?
Deal. Yellow card.
Stand up all night.
That's a head jammer right there, right? Yellow card coming across live soon, right?
Yes.
That's what's up. So we're kicking it off here. We've gotten hydrated. What is this stuff you're putting into my body here? This is delicious. Mountain Dew Kickstart.
It's a new drink from Mountain Dew.
Right on.
Kickstart Hydrating Boost.
I like it.
With coconut water.
It's got the pineapple orange mango. Pretty awesome.
Gives you a little blast. Nice start of your day. And
I like it.
Won't make you crash.
Get up and kick that bastard in the teeth. That's what's up.
What's up, man?
Not much. Who we sitting here with? We got Trevor Reed to my left. We got Chase Taylor, Mac Daddy. And over here, Joe Ball, who's also studying the Mountain Dew can very intently.
Hey, team.
What's been going on, guys? It's been like 8 months since we had the last Crest Live podcast. Y'all have covered a lot of territory since then. That was before the opening that we last spoke, and now y'all are full swing with it.
At the original rejuvenation station.
Yeah.
A lot of cutting that learning curve down, man.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding a lot about our market, understanding a lot about our culture, and building a live music venue from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
It's been fun.
Yeah.
It's been tiring, but it's been fun. We've been taking a lot of notes.
Are you still playing that on your computer?
Oh,
yeah, drop it out a little bit.
My bad.
What have y'all been up to? I guess the biggest question of what were some of the big events you guys had in the last couple months?
What we do in the last couple months? We just did Lil Wayne, which was crazy.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, we've done everything. That's what we started out to do, was just to try to, you know, appeal to every demographic, because the Gulf Coast is such a melting pot. You know, how do we attach to every person and try to get them through the doors?
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a challenge, because with each subculture, you got to kind of, you know, branch out and attract those people in their own certain way. Everybody's got their own motivation. So we've, you know, delved into Christian rock. We've done, you know, hip hop. We've done a little country, we've done blues, we've done jazz, we've done rock, we've done electronic, we've done midget wrestling, you know, so, you know.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because how did that go?
It went great.
Yeah?
Everybody loves midgets. it's like this, you either love them or you hate them and you're deathly afraid of them, and that's just the God's honest truth, but regardless, it's exciting, right? So we had midgets come, and we put a little ring up, and it was a great show. It was fun, you know.
Did you put a ring on it?
No, but we did have like this 6'1" model that was doing the ring girl signs. She towered over the midgets.
It was fun. It really was fun. I'm looking forward to having some more small people back. And that's just the thing. I mean, you know, we're not stuck in a box. We're not, you know, in a bubble. Anything that can entertain, you know, will entertain.
Cool.
Copyright.
Y'all just had the William Carey, the 2015 William Carey art show.
We did. So William Carey came to us just like anybody else can, and said, you know, we love the venue. We love where you're going with culture and trying to progress the culture, and how can we get involved? And, you know, we gave them a really favorable deal, and so they wanted to bring their student art gallery here. And so they brought 200 to 250 art pieces, and we put them up throughout the venue. We had the Rockestra Revolution come last night and play, and it was fun. I mean, it gives the people in this area a little different space that they can, you know, come to, and it's not a huge financial obligation. It's not a casino. It's not a civic center. It kind of feels like the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And, you know, we can kind of build around what they're trying to accomplish, what their goals might be. And so for this in particular event, they wanted it to be nice and chill. The art gallery's up for the next 2 weeks, so anybody can come see it on the weekends. And, you know, it's incredible for us to be able to display these young students' artwork because, you know, there's a ton of talent down here. And it's unfortunate that this talent doesn't get upheld and, you know, talked to the way that it should. And so that's what we're here for. You know, we like to call ourselves a cultural hub because you can come to Crest Live and, you know, every time that you come might see something completely different. But we want to look and feel like the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And we want to be able to be a platform for people like the William Carey students to come and be able to show their stuff off.
When you're putting a facility like this together, did you treat the building itself like an art form when you were constructing it and creating that vibe, that feeling that you wanted Crest Live to have?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's an open canvas. I think in a lot of cases, like the Mississippi Gulf Coast is right now. I mean, since Katrina, really had the opportunity as a community to come back and say, okay, well, this is the way that it was before. Historically, this is the way that it was. You know, the slate is clean. How do we go from here? And that's been kind of, you know, the way that we've treated Crest Live, just like this table that we're sitting at right here. We took these floor joists that are 100 years old, from 1927, when this building was originally created. And, you know, we salvaged them and turned it into a conference table. And so the sky is the limit. And that's, you know, what I think is cool about our team is we don't really put a cap on anything that we do. You know, we sit here at the same table and we talk about what we can do. And we brainstorm it. And if we can make it happen, if it's feasible, if it's logical, in some cases it's not logical and we still do it. But we've got a pretty cool team that, you know, with different mindsets, but like-minded in our goals, and we do, you know, what it takes to try to make these events successful.
How have the locals responded to Crest Live since your opening?
That's an interesting question, and let me introduce Joe Ball. He's an ambassador for our brand. He's been around supporting us from day one, and Trevor is one of our head of marketing guys. They're both sitting at the table, so either one of you guys can jump in here. But, you know, we've always been dedicated to this community, and some people, you know, may see that, some people may not, but we had an opportunity to go somewhere else with this product, and we didn't, and we wanted it to be here. It was the only option for us was to have the first one in Biloxi, Mississippi. But, you know, the culture is one that in a lot of respects supports, but in a lot of respects doesn't respect, you know, the work that goes into it. And so I think, you know, what I would like to encourage, you know, for everybody is use your mind, you know, use your brain, think freely, think on your own, develop, you know, what your opinions are on your own, and don't follow, you know, step outside of your box and, you know, let people follow you if you're doing the right thing. And again, that kind of goes back to our methodology of thinking here. We like to be leaders because there are too many followers, you know, not enough people that are taking the risk and trying to progress the culture. And so we would like to do that, and we would like to lead for good reasons, you know, and we'd like to build, you know, the safest venue in the country and, you know, be able to uphold and you know, lift the people up that have the talent in this town and continue to bring world-class entertainment to the Gulf Coast one act at a time. And so, you know, it's not easy to do that in a culture that hasn't ever had this type, you know, environment that they can respect and call their own. So I think with that is its own challenge, you know, in dealing with that in the community. So I don't know. It's been plus and minus, but we've definitely had a ton of support, which we can't, you know, it's appreciated from my team, no doubt about it. we've got people that we call family here, and that have supported us like Joe has from day one, and you know, wouldn't stop coming. Mm-hmm. Right, Joe?
Yeah,
or would
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
Would you stop coming?
No. I'll always be around.
We've given a lot back to the local bands in the area too. For instance, our last local event was we had a party at the Moon Tower, record release party. We had Stardison, Della Memoria opened up for them. We've had Coos Hound, Emerald Heavy, our Young Gun series. Pretty much every concert around the Young Gun series is shaped around our local bands and our regional bands to give them a stage to perform on. I have to check that out. Our next one's May 26th. We got Catharsis is headlining that.
So the concept behind Young Guns is all the local guys, it's kind of, you know, we want to shape these local bands into helping them become pros, well-rounded bands. So yeah, have great music, be professionals about getting on and off the stage in a timely manner, be in touch with your, you know, with your fans, have fans, be loyal to your fans and be in touch with them and get them to come support you. And so marketing yourself and all that kind of, you know, rounded into Young Guns is we're taking these days on Tuesdays and got these young bands coming in, and you know, whoever we kind of feel like is evolving into the top of those bands in that series gets to progress into our Thursday nights and open up for, you know, bigger bands. And of those Thursday nights, you know, they progress into a Friday or Saturday. It might be opening for a Yellow Card or a Seven Dust or a Nine Point or something of that nature, you know, nothing more, if you will. And so, you know, it's a scene progression thing too that is important to us.
Who did we reward at Red? The local band that opened up for Red?
Yeah, it was Forsaken Me.
Forsaken Me, yeah.
Yeah, so Forsaken Me was really doing good. They were pre-selling tickets and being really professional on the stage, which is up here on the third floor. And we decided that when Red was coming through, and who else was here with Red? 3 Years Hollow, an Islander.
Yep.
And Catharsis,
yep.
We decided to reward Forsaken Me, and we threw them on the bill. I mean, biggest bill those guys have been on. All great guys. I mean, Chase works at Zeppelin's right down the road. And, you know, what better way to give those guys an opportunity to play in front of, you know, a band that's literally packed out 60,000, you know, people arenas. And, you know, Red at one time had the biggest pyrotechnic package in North America. And so for those guys to be able to play with Red, I mean, it's pretty incredible. So mm-hmm. that's important for us too. It's progression.
Speaking of which, you guys are no slouches when it comes to visual displays for your bands and what have you. I mean, you've got the screen, the LED screen that you still rocking. Is that still in operation and everything?
Crushing it.
Yeah, we put all their logos on the bands. And if you look out of a lot of the regional bands in our area, a lot of their presence and, like, you know, cover photos and stuff, it's photos taken at Crest Live with the LED wall in the background, you know.
It's a really cool vibe. I mean, it's, you know, we can make it look any way that we want, from fire to psychedelic to, you know, I guess scary movie scenes. But but it's a really cool look for photography, and a lot of those guys are using those as theme photos on their social media.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And if you're in a local band or a smaller band or a regional band, doesn't matter where you are, you can go to our website, crestlive.com.
You can come play here.
Yeah, we want you to come here.
We want to encourage these bands that we get this a lot. You know, people think that this place is, you know, for some reason unapproachable, and we're not. You know, we'll listen to any potential idea, and we will hear anybody. I mean, if we don't respond to you, we're getting a ton of emails a day, but you know, we do want to uplift that culture, and we want to let these guys know. I mean, we got Lennon Tour Bus coming, which is a good segue into the Lennon Tour Bus. This is John Lennon's tour bus. It's one of the most technologically advanced tour buses on the face of the earth, owned by Yoko Ono herself. And and it's got a full service recording studio, audio recording studio, full service film studio. And so what they do is they called us and they said, look, we want to come down to the coast, and we want to stop at a couple places. And so we got them set up to stop at Biloxi High School, and so they're going to let the kids at Biloxi High get on the bus and see all these. I mean, what they typically do is they get these musicians to come in, they sit down with world-class singer-songwriters, they'll write a song with them, then they record the song live, and then they do an MTV quality music video, and then the Lennon Tour Bus pushes it out to their resources around the globe. So an incredible opportunity. Those guys are coming here and going to go to Biloxi High School, and then they're coming, that's going to be May 19th and 20th,
Biloxi
and
High
then
School, yeah.
May 21st, we're doing the Lennon Tour Bus Battle of the Bands.
Yeah,
so
tell us a little bit more about that. That's one aspect that I was...
Yeah, perfect opportunity for guys that would, you know, be applicable for Young Guns or bands.
I believe
bands.
Most of our Young Guns performers have already signed up. There's a few that haven't yet, but
yeah, so
the list is growing.
Taking
bands
submissions.
Out there.
Where? How do you?
You can go to crestlive.com and click on the blue Lennon Tour Bus at the top of the webpage. Simple as that, and it'll bring you straight to the submission form. You can
bang,
bang, bang.
And that's what you
soundboard. That's our human soundboard. Okay.
And that's what you do. And anybody, I mean, regardless of genre, go submit. And then we're going to do a poll.
Yes, so the band submissions, they end April 30th, at the end of this month. So that's the last date you can sign your band up. After that date, us at Crest Live, we're all going to check out all your bands, everyone. We're going to listen to everybody. And then we're going to unleash a poll on you guys on May 1st, so the next day. And you can go on there and vote for your favorite local band. It's going to be awesome.
And it could be regional, too. I mean, we're not putting a geographic barrier on this. So, you know, guys from New Orleans, guys from Jackson, Mobile, whatever, you can submit, you know, based on following and who's.
I believe one of the main stipulations is you can't currently have a deal. That's pretty much it.
Record deal.
Record deal, yeah.
Yeah, no record deal. Then we're going to put you on stage if you get voted for. And then we've got a panel of local, regional, celebrity judges that are going to judge. And then we got a killer prize package that we're giving away. It's going to be drum kits and guitars and the opportunity to get on the tour bus and record and, you know, just a ton of really cool stuff. So this is going to be fun. It's going to be a really cool show. And then after that, we're going to do a human peace sign on the beach. John Lennon's deal was Imagine Peace. And it's, you know, it's very near and dear to our minds as we kind of, you know, hope to revitalize a little bit of the community and maintain the fact that peace is very relevant to this area. You know, we want to be able to unify, you know, and that's part of why we're bringing these guys down and why they do what they do, and we completely support their goals. So come on down and let's get it in at the tour bus.
Yeah, and that is the beginning of our kickstart in the summer as well. That's the very first part of it. The Lennon Tour Bus.
Yes, we got a bunch of fun stuff going on this summer, from Yellow Card to Throwback Thursdays, featuring Carnival of Crew. That's going to be on May 14th, which is Motley Crue tribute band. We're actually doing Teen Night, Glow Rave. We got Young Guns. We got Twisted. Nothing More's coming on June 13th. More Throwback Thursdays. We're doing a reunion show with Stereo Hype and Joshua Sun.
Stereo Hype, that's their first show in how long?
It's been a long time.
I think Stereo Hype's about 2 years, Joshua Sun maybe 3 years. People are really excited about that show.
Those tickets are on sale now.
Yes. Tickets.crestlive.com. Is that what it is?
Just go to crestlive.com.
Yeah. Got a bunch of cool stuff coming up. They've done a bunch of really cool stuff. You know, and are continuing to figure out where we really fit in the Gulf South.
Yeah. So I know y'all have been really busy tending to all the business here on the home base. Have you been getting out to any major festivals or anything like that in the local or regional area?
What have you done, Trevor?
I know you went to Tomorrow World.
Oh, I mean, I just got back from Winter Music Conference, which is pretty fun, in Miami. actually saw Lil Wayne on the beach at the Red Bull guest house and got a chance to kick it with some really cool EDM guys. And, you know, Miami is always, you know, always one of my favorite places in the world. It's definitely my favorite place in the continental U.S. Most beautiful girls, great Cuban food, beautiful beaches, and great nightlife. So, yeah, I'm a fan of Miami for sure.
Yeah, I got lost in South Beach the week before you went out there, actually.
Joe's actually still lost.
I'm hungover from last night.
It's his birthday. Happy birthday,
Happy
Joe.
Birthday, Joe Ball.
It's actually Trevor's birthday, too.
Sunday.
Happy birthday, Trevor.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday,
too. What are we doing?
What's going on?
You smell like a monkey.
I haven't made plans yet.
And you look like
it's
one,
a surprise.
Too.
Y'all surprised
he was supposed to go to Disney World, but they shut it down on him.
I know.
Why?
Disappointment.
Couldn't upgrade my hotel room.
What?
He wouldn't go without a suite.
Yeah, wanted the suite. Yeah. The princess suite.
Right.
that's so rock star. You're living the rock star life.
they wanted to give him the petite.
Straight out the water with that Reed Electrical shirt on.
Hey, don't make me put a Yellow House bed and breakfast plug in here.
Go ahead. What is that? What is that? It's a nice new bed and breakfast on the beach in Biloxi.
Yeah, if you Google Biloxi, Mississippi, I believe it'll pinpoint you right at the Biloxi Lighthouse. And right north of that is an awesome bed and breakfast. It's called the Yellow House Bed and Breakfast. It's like $50 a night. It is a shed.
What kind of...
There is no insulation.
Y'all do blueberry pancakes for breakfast?
Well, sometimes it might be burnt toast. But you will eat something when we let you out. You got to get locked in. There is no doorknob. But, yeah, $50 a night. Need a place to stay. We got you. We got you. Just knock on the door.
Good job. How was your vacancy last weekend for Biloxi Beach?
We were booked up. We're actually booked up.
I feel like you're lying.
Yeah, and there's a lot of brown recluses in there right now. I didn't want to admit that.
Is this a real project you've got underway or something? Or
yeah, you can look us up on Facebook. Just look up the Yellow House Bed and Breakfast. We'll be up and running soon.
All right.
Progress.
Without the spiders?
Up and running soon, but you're currently available. For that.
Yeah, currently available, taking reservations.
Okay.
For 2016?
Yes.
On previous podcasts, you guys talked about the importance of giving back and supporting art in the local community. What kind of events has Crest been a part of to help facilitate that goal?
We did a bunch for Christmas and did some food drives and some warm clothes drives and some hats and gloves and scarves, and we're able to give back in that way. I think we did that for Big Sam's Funky Nation and a couple other things.
Mm-hmm.
We did a friend of ours, Lee and Jenna Farragut, have a baby girl, Ariana Farragut. She came down with stage 4 brain cancer, and we were able to throw a really cool event for her and able to give a significant amount of money back to support their fight against brain cancer. It's near and dear to us. My father ended up dying from brain cancer, but and we've done some other really cool stuff too. There was a homeless gentleman that passed away. He was on his way back to his home in a gutter north of Crossroads Shopping Mall, slipped and fell on a rock and ended up, you know, drowning in the water. And we went out there and paid homage to him and did kind of a ceremony and filmed it with Jackie Avery and 935 Media, and in hopes to try to bring some awareness to, you know, drug addiction and homeless and mental health. And that was something that was pretty important to us. We've got some other cool stuff coming up, but you know, that kind of thing remains important to us. You know, if we do want to be about community, we got to do some stuff outside of, mm-hmm. you know, just throwing amazing world-class top tier parties, mm-hmm. which we're really good at. but yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's the kind of stuff to me that creates longevity and, that's the kind of stuff that at the end of the day is the most important anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to make an impact, and you know, and those are kind of things that are necessary to do so.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many people in the past who've kind of reached out and promoted stuff for cancer awareness and benefits and things like that. Now, it's incredible what they're doing nowadays with science. I'm seeing all in the news where they're injecting other viruses into people's bodies to attack cancer cells to eliminate the cancer. And then, if, you know, your body will still have those other foreign entities that they put in or whatever, but it's always a lesser form of whatever the person's ailment was previously. So it's just really interesting what they've been doing with all that in respects to all that, but that's very cool.
Very cool. I mean, it's still a very tragic, real thing that happens far too often. And, you know, what do you do about it? Do you just sit back and let it be there and continue to take people down? Or, you know, for us, we can't do a lot about it, other than just really creating some awareness. But if that's all we can do, then that's what we'll do.
Mm. On a side note, I've been thinking about it because I've been here whenever you guys have been in full swing. I came for the Toadies and the Black Pistol Fire and all those
and
things.
That's pretty much it.
No, I came that one time. Remember that time I came at like 8? I dropped out of work and I came over here.
Oh,
for
yeah.
That one night.
I don't think anybody was even playing at that time.
No, you're just having a party.
What was that?
I don't know. It was a
you
rager.
Showed up in your
y'all,
scrubs.
It was like a locals only thing or something like that. Like y'all had a party where like people
local
had
band
to.
Love Fest?
No, I think it was electronic.
It was so. Like a Wednesday or something like that, or a Tuesday. I don't know.
I think you showed
it was
up
in
late.
The middle of the weekend. No,
or was
I probably
it early?
Did.
Was that a Vegas night thing?
Maybe so. Maybe so.
I was up late, so it was probably
yeah.
late.
Yeah,
was
I
it
think
themed?
It
yeah, you were wearing some like sailor shit or something like that.
Sailor.
I'm pretty sure.
Halloween?
No.
Sailor.
like a salesman or like a maritime professional?
I'm telling sailor. You. I'm telling you. I don't know. There's no way I can prove any of this because I don't have any info to go
you
off of. What?
You
no.
can't prove it.
Like he had deck shoes.
It was themed. It was themed. Like yeah. people were in like.
Maybe it was
someone,
Vegas
someone had like a rubber ducky thing like around them or something like that.
Who knows? Who knows? Some weird stuff has gone around.
People
around
were drinking here. Alcohol. There was a theme with the alcohol. I can't remember.
We did something really funny. Was we had a lift in here that we had to adjust some lighting one day. And we parked the lift out front of the building. And at 4:00 in the morning, somebody came and stole our lift and drove it and parked it in the middle of Kivette Street and telescoped the lift 120 feet up in the air and left it there and took off. And the cops actually sent me a picture of it. And they're like, oh, you need to get down here. This is your lift. And so I don't know who it was, but that kind of stuff happens to us all the time.
Because they couldn't impound that stuff, that's why. I mean, they're like, let's just take a picture and send it to the owner. Like,
I think the bus came up missing one time.
Oh, well, you don't even know about the ghost, do you?
No. No, I saw you doing a video of something about some...
So, around December, and I guess it started even before that, there's always been some weird stuff happening. Nobody's ever really kind of cared about it. Well, December, we started getting pictures that were strange, like auras in the back and orbs and faces, if you will, or at least stuff that looked like faces. And so we kind of it became something that, you know, was in the back of our minds. All right, what the hell is going on here? And then some of our, you know, employees started mentioning stuff to us. Well, I saw this thing in the hallway and I heard this and whatever. This building's, you know, 1927 is when it was built. If you look over here, you can see the soot on the bricks. There was a fire. Fire. There was a fire in the 40s and something happened. We don't know if anybody died, but our investigation has told us that nobody died. But so we started trying to kind of like investigate, and we actually got the TV show The Haunted from the CW series to come out, and they did a full scope paranormal investigation. And they told us, I mean, there was a medium there and everything and a full film crew. And dude told us, I mean, that there's definitely stuff here. And it was just like, well, how'd stuff get here if nothing died? And so, I don't know. I just think that we kind of recreated something maybe for the first time. At least this area hasn't been booming since like the 60s or 70s. This area was really booming around like the 40s. And so we kind of, a theory is that, you know, the hospital's right across the street. Stuff happens all the time. And now we have all these crazy lights and the sound going, and maybe we've awakened some spirits and they've come across the street. So, you know, in this investigation, certain little things popped up, and who knows, you know, it became clear to me that either I follow this investigation around and see what they see, or I go home because I got to come back to work here Monday. And so I just went home. I was like, I don't really want to know. And we haven't seen the show. It comes out next season. So I really don't know what the hell they found.
It's probably like a ghost sitting right next to you right now.
That's what the dude told me. He was like, there's a ghost sitting right next to you. He's like, I think it's your ghost. I don't even think it's the venue's ghost. I don't know much about ghosts, but.
But, yeah, all that bass probably woke something up.
Yeah, or maybe they just like to party. I mean, a lot of ghosts come about because they have unfinished business.
Dude told me, I was like, well, I want to know.
Crest
Live
seems like a place you could get some business taken care of, you know?
I asked him, I was like, so what are these ghosts going to try to inhibit us from what our goals are? I mean, what are they going to, stop us? Are they trying to get us out of here? And dude was like,
they'll help us.
Well, dude was like, I just think these ghosts are confused. He's like that. He told me that there was ghosts wandering around behind me, walking around in circles. And he actually described my aunt to me perfectly. And he was like, this person is behind you. He's got reddish hair. She's, you know, 45 years old. And that's when my aunt passed away. And she would be the confused ghost that was walking around behind me. I mean, so I don't know.
Do you think he pulled a Wizard of Oz? Like, while your eyes were closed, he, like, reached into your knapsack and pulled out a picture of your aunt and put it back down?
No. There's
or
no
in today's
pictures.
Age, go, like, Facebook and surfing for you?
No, she's not that. She's been passed away for about four or five years now.
Be hard to find any.
Yeah. And she was never, like, the Facebook thing. So, I don't know, man. It's just those, you know, another cool little story about Crest Live. Don't know if there's any weight to that one or not, but maybe we are one of the only haunted music venues in the country. I don't know. Maybe not too.
They didn't find Bigfoot though, huh?
Well, Bigfoot, we don't open the basement.
Yeah, you don't want to go in the basement.
We don't talk about
I
want to
go in the
we
basement.
We don't talk about the basement.
I want to go down there.
There's people under the stairs down there. Roach, we chopped his little girl. Never mind.
Roach? Yeah, we chopped a roach.
That's for the next podcast.
The next
Stay
podcast.
Stay tuned.
What kind of music are y'all listening to these days?
I'm typically forced to listen to music coming here, but when I have the opportunity not to, I've been digging Alt-J here recently. I don't know if anyone listens to Alt-J. Pretty good.
Yeah. Alt-J is awesome. I mean, I'm ADD, so I like.
But we have such
stuff.
Great music coming here. I can't complain. Like, we had Kevin Gates and Lil Wayne. I mean, Urban's taken care of. There's your playlist. So, I mean, I can't complain.
Yeah, get a lot of good music in the work environment.
I actually listen to Nothing More a lot. I mean, they're a great live show, which I'm really looking forward to seeing, and the music's great, and it's got meaning behind it. I've been listening to a lot of chill stuff here lately, reggae, kind of chill, you know, EDM stuff, easy listening, like Hoochie and Revolution, slightly stupid stuff like that.
Yeah.
Cool. And not to market Spotify at all, but I've been digging listening to my music on Spotify here recently. It's a lot simpler than anything else I've ever used.
Oh, yeah. You mean, like, as a program itself, it's easy to use?
It's a good platform, for sure.
Yeah. Have you heard at all about Jay-Z's?
I heard that it starts with a T.
Tidal.
Yeah.
He bought out YMP.
And the thing that makes it so great is it's all FLAC files, so it's
lossless.
Yeah, I think just today they released a video with like Beyonce, Rihanna, Jack White, Kanye West.
Yeah, a lot of big names are supporting it, and I believe they're supporting it because it gives them an opportunity to be in control of it for once. It's usually always, you know, someone else in the industry in control of playing to their music, but now it's, you know, these artists are stepping up and taking control. Is that
a
phone ringing?
Oh, okay.
It's just a phone.
It's a ghost.
It's not haunted.
Let me go mute that.
Who are you going to call?
It's just a phone. Yeah, so many different platforms to
well,
to
it's
look
like,
at.
It's like Neil Young. It's like artists, bigger artists who have actually gone out and made it, or it seems like they're now trying to use their resources with technology, what we have available, to kind of give back, like Neil Young's phono player, which is supposed to be using high fidelity.
Give back or create revenue streams?
Yeah, definitely create other revenue streams, no mistake in that. But just to kind of, I guess in the sense, give back to what the entertainment industry is missing as far as music. We've had these years where, you know, the iPod came along and started delivering this really portable, convenient music delivery service to a bunch of people. But then there was all this, you know, don't want to say necessary backlash, because some people do see it as a pro, but then you had this loss of quality in that portability. You had artists losing a little bit of the revenue, because now all of a sudden you weren't going to sell unless you were putting out to iTunes, and then if that was the case, you're not always going to get your whole album sell. And if you're someone like the Mars Volta or Pink Floyd or any of these other bands who like to do, you know, big concept albums where it's like the vision is from the beginning to the end, and you know, that's just how they make a profit. The artist is already starving as it is, you know. It's not an easy lifestyle, you know. The lifestyle is appealing, but it doesn't actually always produce money that you can live off of if, you know, if you make that like a full-time thing. So when you go, you know, and people became this game where people were just trying to produce one-hit singles and then get, you know, a million hits off of iTunes or whatever, but then iTunes is still going to take from that too. And then, you know, with everything else that a band has to go through, whether it's managers, booking agents, sound technicians, everything that goes into producing a good live band, you know.
Yeah, a good friend of mine in the industry, he
said... Can you move your mic a little bit closer to
you?
Sorry. You can adjust it if you don't have to.
No, I was just going to say, a good friend of mine in the industry, actually, no need to say his name, but he has a saying, content is king. However, he who owns the pipeline controls the content.
Mm-hmm.
So without that pipeline, Chris, the music is not going to get out there from this area, so to speak. Not to the type of crowd that I feel that comes here or is welcome here.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I think that there's only so much progression as music, you know, of music that the coast actually, you know, can see or hear. And you've got all these great platforms, but that's not the general consensus of what people are listening to. It's still, you know, it's still kind of FM radio. Mm-hmm. But I think the culture and the understanding, the vast, you know, majority of music knowledge is expanding. It's just slower.
Mm-hmm.
It's slow growth. And yeah. I think that it's unfortunate, because I've always taken pride in music discovery. I mean, that's always been something that's been fun, entertaining to me. I've always been the guy that wanted to go out there and be like, yo, have you heard this band? Have you heard this new act? This is a whole new genre. I mean, I remember when I was telling people about dubstep and they're like, what? And I felt the same way when I heard it. But when I uncovered it the first time, it was like, this is crazy. And it was all based on a Google search, you know? So
same thing for jungle and drum and bass back in the 90s, mid to late 90s.
Yeah.
It was pretty interesting.
What about you, Joe Ball? What have you been listening to?
How to Take Over the World? No, a little bit of Kygo. I'd say Synchro. More on the chill electronic dance music side. Some Boosie.
How about our Biloxi Shuckers? Winning some games.
They're shucking.
Are they already started?
Yeah.
Like in the stadium?
Not in the stadium. No, 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 no.
June 6th is the targeted first home game, and which will be cool because the city of Biloxi is hosting a game day experience in the Vue Marche. So we're going to have a show before the game, a show after the game. Don't know exactly who the talent's going to be, but the Howard Avenue will be shut off, and we're going to do all kinds of crazy stuff down here. So it'll be a great look for the city.
Right on.
Shuck that.
Shuck. When is that?
June 6th.
June 6th.
Cool. So y'all see that as the Shuckers in the stadium coming in pretty close to the area here as a good thing?
I'm glad that they repaved Howard Avenue for sure.
Yeah, man. But it's economic development, you know, synergy, regardless of what entertainment it is, it's, you know, it's progress.
What kind of advancements have been made around here in y'all's local area, you know, outside of like the stadium and stuff like that, specifically maybe this little strip here or just in the area? I mean, does this area any new restaurants or anything like that coming down the pipes?
There's a lot of really good momentum heading the right direction. I mean, it's taken 10 years since Hurricane Katrina to get, you know, restaurants back. Restaurants are usually the first thing that comes back, right? So you had some infrastructure development happen, some restaurants. You got some hotels now happening. You got new casinos, you know, coming back around. I think that, and obviously the ball field, I think that the area is moving forward, and it's really up to the ambassadors of the area to help kind of, you know, spearhead that progress, that momentum in the right direction. Before Katrina, I think that the market was good. I mean, there was things to do, but it was still one-dimensional. Mm-hmm. Gaming. And then what? And so now, you know, you've got gaming and baseball, and then you've got, you know, development happening in D'Iberville in the way of retail and, you know, stuff like this 18, or I think it's actually 36-hole professional mini golf course going in D'Iberville. And that's the kind of stuff that we need, you know, Crest Live. All right, so now you got dad comes and plays, you got mom that goes and shops, you got the kids that go to the ball field, you got mini golf, and you got live music, you know. So the area, you know, in terms of a tourism destination is growing as a whole. I mean, I just hope that we get the right, you know, people in the administration for like the city of Biloxi to continue with that progress.
Hmm. When you're here and it's a night, you got a rocking show on, place is packed out, you're trying to keep that fine line of being the guy who's running the show and at the same time enjoying the product that you've put here for all these people. Is it easy to let yourself kind of unwind and enjoy what you've got going on while still being able to manage the whole thing? And
it's been a lot of hard work. And it, I mean, there's times when you know, you get to sit back and chill, but anything can happen.
You're always on.
I think anything can happen, and we've seen a lot of the worst that could happen already.
Yeah.
And you know, thank God, you know, that we're still kicking it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the learning curve, if you will, has slapped us in the face a couple times, and we understand that anything can really happen. So do you turn off at some point? Not really.
No.
I mean, not really.
I think a lot of people would want to know this. What was the situation with Afro Man? What happened there?
So I'm up on this floor, and
we're on the third floor.
We had a free show for Mardi Gras, and it was crazy. A bunch of people showed up, and we had Afro Man play, and I'm walking around, and somebody grabs me. This woman grabs me by both shoulders, and she's like, "He just hit her." And I'm like, "What do you mean?" And she goes, "He just hit her." And she told me exactly what she was talking about, and I ran down and talked to my security, and it was very apparent that something took place. He didn't see it. I didn't see it. We had some other security guards that saw it. Some staff saw it. I had to run back and go review footage, and within about a three-minute time, it was Mardi Gras. It was a lot of people that were here that didn't see it, and a lot of people that did see it. And it took a little time for it to really, to people to understand that it was not a joke. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I still never got to see it live. So I went and reviewed footage. After reviewing the footage, I went and told him that, you know, he needed to get the fuck out of here. And I pulled the plug and had security waiting for him because I knew that more stuff was going to play out. And he was escorted off the stage, out the door. There was, you know, a group of people waiting for him out there, and we tried to maintain some of a buffer zone in between them and the people. And luckily we had, you know, called the cops, and the cops were there to receive him before anything else bad happened. It was unfortunate. Girl jumped on stage. She was on stage for, you know, literally 35 seconds, and it was just, you know, it was just a lot that went down in a very short period of time. And I think the biggest thing that it taught us was anything's possible. You're not in control of anybody, no matter what my contract says, no matter, you know. And I think, you know, just understanding that goes back to your question before. Do you ever take time off? Not during a show. You can't. I mean, because we have to, you know, we have to take care of our patrons, and we've grown in those measures. You know, every single show that we have, we learn a little bit more about how to take better control of our patrons, how to take better control out of our, you know, or maintain, you know, security around our patrons, and keep our staff safe, and then keep the artists safe. And there's several different variables to go into all that, because the security has to keep everybody safe. And then there's instances where the artists sometimes view the security as the opposing factor. And so, you know, it's really a lot about keeping a level head as a venue and making sure that, you know, we do all the proper precautionary measures we go through. I mean, we've developed into a lot like a football team, X's and O's. Okay, what happens if this happens? And doing a lot of, you know, pregame preparations, a lot of time spent with our head of security and our team, understanding, you know, where you have to be and what you have to do and your tasks as those security forces. I mean, because, you know, anything can go down, and we've seen a lot of different things happen. So, you know, it's up to us. And I think where we've grown since then is, you know, we started off as wanting to be, you know, have the most incredible events, and we've had some incredible events, and we've had some of the most incredible events that I've ever seen on the coast. Now we want to have the most incredible events and be the safest, you know, live music venue in the country. And I think that there's a testament to that. You can ask anybody that's been here lately, and our security staff is, you know, not only accommodating and hospitable, but, you know, doesn't let security not be our top, you know, priority at any given time. And that's very important to us.
How have y'all utilized that second floor area? Y'all've got a really suave little side area with all the couches and all that kind of going on. What are y'all utilizing that space for? How have y'all put it to use?
Our VIP
relic room.
Yeah, we got the relic room. We got the horns up viewing sections for specific rock events.
Spy lounge. Sitting on now, which offers a balcony view of the stage. We've done some really cool stuff in the relic room where we've done some house vibes. We did Della Memoria, did a really cool set in there one time where we just only open up that floor, and we've called it Break the Bar in some cases. And, you know, Relic Room Presents. and it's just a really intimate vibe in there. We do, you know, lights on the walls, and we kind of haze out the room with a hazer, and it really kind of brings a LA lounge boiler room set. So, you know, each person, whether you're sitting at the bar at a couch or standing up, you know, around a cocktail table, you're literally just feet away from the band. Mm-hmm. And it's a really cool, I mean, plush leather couches, really, really nice decor and, you know, wallpaper. It's just a plush feeling. It's something that the coast is, you know, is needed for a while. And we want, you know, our VIPs to feel comfortable there.
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine y'all could get some pretty, like, cool jazz musicians in there and jazz out the place.
No doubt.
What else we got? What else is happening?
What's the funnest show you've seen, Joe Ball?
The funnest. You have to give me a second on that.
All right, Trevor.
Insane Clown Posse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
I
heard
good the Mafia things. Six specifically was awesome during that show. Probably one of the best hip hop acts I've seen live here was the Mafia Six. But yeah, that whole show. Shout out to all the guys at Psychopathic Records. They're awesome. Every time we've dealt with them, it's been great. But yeah, their show is awesome.
He's not really kidding though. Uh-uh. I mean, you think about it, Psychopathic Records. You know, a lot of these guys out there are hard to deal with. A lot of the some management, some agents, and I mean, some of the acts are divas in some cases. But those guys were pros.
Most laid back, easy to deal with, straight to the point, get the job done, guys.
We turned the entire venue into a Dexter kill room with all the Visqueen that we put up, and it was crazy.
How much Faygo did we buy?
They sent us $5,000 worth of Faygo.
Don't know how much $5,000 worth of Faygo is,
it's 79 cents a 2 liter.
Look at the inside space of a.
It was a it truck, came on it came on truck. Two pallets. I mean, they came here and they unloaded on an 18-wheeler, you know, trailer, and they were like, "Where's your pallet jack? Where's your forklift?" Like, oh, I ain't got that. And so literally $5,000 worth of Diet Coke or Diet Cola.
Diet Faygo root beer is what
Diet
they
Cola
use.
And then Diet root beer. And the reason that they used that, we found out, which, I mean, very, very considerate juggalos. We appreciate that even up to this day. But the reason that they use the diet is because there's no sugar in it. And the reason they use the root beer is because it smells good. Because they launched $5,000 worth of Faygo
in our
for a freaking show.
It's a water park in here of Faygo.
It's crazy. It was crazy.
I think we have a video on YouTube. Just look up Crest Live Insane Clown Posse. You'll see.
It was absolutely
Faygo.
Insane.
So they actually, like, they shoot that into
they
the crowd.
They shake them up, and they pop the top, and they let them go. They kind of underhand them, and as they underhand them, it's like a dove flying into the wilderness. And they just shoot them, and they, instead of a dove, it goes, pew, it's just a freaking missile.
Faygo everywhere, just showers.
It killed our LED wall. I remember
the poor photographers we had were hiding behind Visqueen walls, like, yeah. Making, and then the clowns on stage are, like, aiming for the photographers with the Faygo. They're like, oh, we're going to get you, and, like, the photographers are dunking. It was pretty fun.
It was. I remember seeing some young girls, probably 19 years old. These Faygo missiles were just slapping them right in the face. Just and I remember, like, I'd watch their face, like, their neck would just rip around from this 2 liter, just smacking them right in the face, and they'd turn around and be like, "Yeah!" It was crazy. I mean, I literally thought, like, some necks would be broken and turn around. It was the most amazing experience of their lives. And
another great experience I had was our grand opening. We probably got the best live version of Gangsta Paradise that has ever been, ever. I mean, hands down.
David Shaw from The Revivalist.
Singing the hook of Gangsta's Paradise. Yep.
And it was Dumpsta Funk Plant. Dumpsta Funk Plant. David Shaw from The Revivalist.
Coolio. All coolioed out in a Saints jersey on our stage.
I wish more people would have came out for Trumpet Black.
Oh, yeah. Trumpet Black was a great show.
And Galactic.
Galactic was a great... Galactic, we had a great crowd. Galactic
we had
Break Science.
What's his name? Hodor?
Yes.
From Game of Thrones.
Rave of Thrones.
He's from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, he's from Game of Thrones. Rave of Thrones is what it was the name of his set.
Wait, so he's an actual actor from the series?
From the show.
Hodor.
Yeah.
And he's 6 foot, he's 7 foot tall.
Big
is
dude.
DJ?
Huge. He's a DJ. He plays house music. He's the thickest hands I've ever. I mean, he grabbed my hands and it was crazy.
Like a Viking.
Oh, if y'all could have got Dinkles in for the midget wrestling, that would have been game over.
It could have been a 4-on-1, actually, with Hodor.
Be on the lookout for our midget wrestling again. I'm sure we'll
it's coming. I was just thinking about that yesterday. I'm going to get Hulk Hogan's midgets down here.
And shout out to our homies, Rebirth Brass Band from New Orleans. Every time they come, it's a fantastic show.
Yep. Yeah. We're going to bring in some new brass soon, so keep an eye out for that. You know, Trevor, have we launched the wish list yet?
Not yet. We're going to be putting a wish list up on crestlive.com. So if you have any bands or any live performances or entertainment or anything that you want to see at Crest Live, go on there, fill it out, send it to us. We'll check it out. You never know. Your wish might come true.
I've been listening to Bob Log the Third lately. If y'all could get that guy. He recorded with Fat Possum Records, one of his earliest recordings. Have you ever seen this guy?
Yeah, dude.
He lives in Australia now, from what I've heard, and his last album was like 09 or something like that. So I really don't know what his availability. I think he's maybe from Tucson, Arizona, something like that. But, I mean, he's a huge blues slide guitar kind of guy, so I know he's had roots in this area and all that
you
stuff.
You know St. Paul and the Broken Bones?
Mm-mm.
You got to check them out. St. Paul and the Broken Bones is the new Muscle Shoals, kind of area group. And they've been just killing it. They sound Motown, a bunch of white guys from North Alabama that just, when you close their eyes, don't look anything like what they sound. And that's the kind of stuff that we love. I mean, they take control of the stage, and we'll have those guys at some point, hopefully. But there, you know, goes back to your question: what do you listen to? Those, it's a revolutionary sound. I mean, but it's something that has already kind of been created, 60s and 70s. Go check it out. It's something that you won't be able to turn off.
Right on. Are y'all going to Jazz Fest in New Orleans? Speaking of New Orleans.
Probably so, yeah.
I went to 3 or 4 days of Jazz Fest last year.
Yeah.
Chase was dragging me around the city, and my legs were tired.
Oh, yeah.
Up to like 4, 5 a.m.
Popping cherries. This guy's scared to go out of town with me now. He knows what we're capable of. The Hangout Fest is coming out. It's got a great lineup.
I went to more shows in one night in New Orleans with Chase, and I think I've been to all year almost, it seemed like. It was crazy.
After party. What time did we see Pell and Cherub?
Maybe 3 a.m.
No, it was 4.
4 a.m.?
4. It started. The show started
at the House
4.
Of Blues.
We'd love to be able to do that down here. I mean, I think a lot of cases, you know, this town stays up late. But, you know, if there's an event, people sometimes go home after the event. And the difference between us and New Orleans is New Orleans don't go home. You know, there's an event and there's an after party and there's an after party and there's an after party. And I think there's a real opportunity in that. And we hope that, you know, that kind of lifestyle sees a little change, you know, especially since the ballpark's open. We can do some really cool late night after parties. We hope that this, you know, town will kind of get accustomed to searching for more stuff as opposed to going.
We've got
home.
The new condos being built right here in the Vue Marche. So, I mean, that's putting residents right at our doorstep. So,
yeah, it'll be cool to see some more young professionals moving into the downtown area. You know, maybe some service industry people. I think that's what this area needs. You know, all the talented folks are kind of dispersed, and why not put them in a central location?
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking with that stadium, and you're talking about the crowds and all. I wonder if do you think anybody ever rents out stadiums for like events? Can you do that?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I was going to say.
Oh,
you
can rent anything.
Dude, as you should. But it seems like you could have some killer good parties in a stadium, like a baseball stadium or a football stadium, something like that.
You know, your revenue for the baseball season is only, you know, three or four months long, maybe 4 or 5
it's
months.
It's only part of that.
It's just part of it. I mean, I think the other major revenue stream is going to be private events that they do there. I think they're going to do some college, you know, athletic stuff, and then obviously some concerts too. Like to see some young, you know, progressive entertainment there.
Like, I'm thinking for, like, the winter, for example, you're talking about the window that baseball gives the opportunity for. Maybe in the winter down here, have, like, a baseball winter party, you know? Get some snow machines. Just create a winter wonderland contained within the stadium.
Baseball, you know? Winter party? I'm trying to just vision that.
Baseball, no winter baseball, wonderland.
No baseball involved. Just in the baseball stadium.
I'll tell you this really cool party I was involved in.
Shucking snow.
Snow.
Stop.
I've got some friends in Vegas that rented out a warehouse. It was huge, 100,000 square foot warehouse, and they trucked in snow, and it was called Winter Wonderland or something like that. And it was in the middle of winter time, but we all know that doesn't snow in Vegas, and so they trucked in all this snow, and they filled up the bottom of the warehouse with snow, and then they built a track. They built like a snow cross track with little baby snowmobiles, and the party was in the middle of this track. And on the outside of the track was a bunch of midgets on mini snowmobiles running around the outside of the track, and you're literally at this party on the inside of a mini snowmobile track in the middle of, you know, downtown Vegas in an old warehouse. Maybe we do that at the ball field. I don't know. Coming soon
to Chris Live.
To MGM Park. Yeah, it's been crazy.
I got some questions for you.
Shoot.
How's the podcast been running for you? It's been over a year, huh?
Oh, yeah. We're close on 2 years now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
This will be episode number 46. So if you put an average of about an hour and a half to 2 hours per episode, I'm almost running at close to 100 hours of content that I've sat in on.
Sweet, man.
Nice, I sit here with headphones and
has it opened up any new doors for you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, in terms of meeting people, I mean, you know, this is a perfect example right here, you know. And the fact that, you know, I get to choose what I want to sit down with, basically. So,
yeah.
In the case of, like, what we're doing here, this just came from me picking up a newspaper and seeing Chase's face on the newspaper and reading about this, you know, this venue that sounded like it was going to be something completely different than anything else. So I did some online hunting, found a number, called them up. We talked music for a couple minutes or whatever, you know, probably like a half hour or something. And I was like, hey, this is the guy. So, and then from there we got together, did our first episode down at the Juke Joint. And then again, you know, here a couple months later.
The funny thing is I was friends with both of y'all.
Yeah.
And didn't even know yet.
Yeah.
I saw the podcast randomly, like, oh, they had a podcast.
Yeah, so I mean that, and then like for me, musicians, like we just did two episodes with Johnny Cole of the Southland Music Line, who's you know, a big writer for this region. You know, used to be
on us first weekend.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Great writer. I don't know. I don't remember. I think Johnny's the one that wrote it, but it was, you know, very in depth on what, you know, Crest Live was. We appreciated it.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, him just got introduced to from, I want to say, through Ben Kaufman down at the Irish Coast Pub. And then I had mutual friends through Johnny and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, we started talking, and then me and my drummer and another local musician, Will Lammons, we all sat down, and I mean, they just blew me away. I mean, just talking, you want to know somebody who's, you know, knows this area, this whole region front and back, from local music. I mean, it's Johnny all the way, you know. And to be able to sit there and you know, with my buddy and bandmate Eddie, and Will, and for this all to just be able to flesh out. I mean, in the course of it was actually the first episode Johnny did with us was our longest episode. It was like 2.5 hours long. And just nonstop, like all these artists I'd never heard of that are, oh, you got to check out this is awesome, and check out this guy from New Orleans and Austin and all these things. And I mean, it was just, you know, just content coming at you. So to be able to sit in this kind of format, you know, and get all that information undistracted, and then to be able to have be able to go back and listen to it. Not only that, but to share it with other people, you know, and turn people on to what is good around here that people might not otherwise know.
Yeah, and I thank you for that, because we need someone that's standing up and spreading the good messages around the Mississippi Gulf Coast and spreading the culture and what people are trying to accomplish down here.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny. It's very interesting because when we first started this earlier, Chase was mentioning we're always available, so to speak, by the phone. The ideas, easy to get here. And that's exactly what you were just saying, was that you just dug around a little bit and they were receptive.
Yeah.
You know, and I tell everybody the door's open pretty much Monday through Friday. Just come down here and knock on it or something.
Yeah.
If you get anybody on the phone.
Someone's usually in here doing something.
Exactly. You're coming and going.
Whether
or something.
We like it or not.
So, I mean, they're very easy to talk to.
Yeah.
With all these different ideas.
And it wasn't just that. It wasn't just the fact that I was able to talk to Chase and Nick so easily from the get-go, and they were so receptive to what I was doing. But it was the fact that, you know, we got down to almost immediately to talking about, you know, guys from North Mississippi, Delta's blues players, whether it was Robert Johnson or Sunhouse or Mississippi Fred McDowell, you know, all these like really old school guys, and just people that were not necessarily the radio people, but people that just had, you know, that I respect immensely for their talent and what they contribute to music, you know, instead of just what they put out there, you know.
Yeah.
Because not every canvas turns out the best as radio, so, you know,
we'd love to be able to bring some of those underground artists.
Yeah, I was gonna say maybe a Coastal Noise concert series.
Hey,
the thing about it is, you know, what happens first, is it the chicken or the egg? And you know, who's gonna support the shows? And that's what, you know, it has to be. Honestly, we'd love to do, you know, that all the time, because we're progressive in our thinking, but it has to be economically feasible, you know. And I hate to say that word, because we never usually do anything for money, but it's got to work financially. We don't have, you know, we don't have endless pockets. So when you see stuff like Hinder come into the Crawfish Festival, I mean, there's a reason for that. And then people kind of complain about it sometimes, because it's, you know, it's guys that have been around forever. But think outside the box and try to progress who you're listening to. And when we throw some shows that are a little outside the box, support them.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if you don't know them. You know, get to know them. Mm-hmm. Get to know them. And that's how we progress the culture. And that's how you bring more stuff that, you know, might be exciting. And, you know, Symphony Crack Orchestra is a prime example. I mean, this is a band that was relatively unknown. The violinist, Ashanti Floyd, toured with Lupe Fiasco and was his touring violin player. Incredible band. They're coming back, I believe, May 9th. But nobody knew who they were. Still one of the best bands that have hit our stage, period. I would highly suggest to come see them May 9th. It'll blow your mind. Dude was just popping strings on his bow all night long. I think he popped 5 bows. And it was just like, they play everything from Ellie Goulding to Sam Smith to their own, you know, original music. And just a very cool vibe. I mean, something that 55-year-old women and 21-year-old men can both relate to. I mean, that wide of a range of sound. And that's the thing that we encourage. Look, who cares if you don't know them? Go learn about them. I mean, it might be something that you've never heard before, but then you go. I mean, give me an example of that act that you heard that you'd never heard anything like that before in your life. But then when you heard this, it changed the way you thought, at least for the next week, maybe the next month. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, you looked at music in an entirely different way. Do you have any of those type experiences?
Oh, I'm sure I do. I definitely have to think on it. There's a lot of local guys around here that, like, I do an open mic jam pretty somewhat regularly on Monday nights at the Irish Coast. And I mean, we're getting tons of artists that come through there that are fantastic. My drummer Eddie Dixon, like I said, he's done several solo albums where he writes, performs, and records all the music on his own. And he's this very, it's definitely nothing that most people, whether it's keys or guitar or bass, vocals, I mean, he puts something down different all the time. And that's been one person that to have that relationship of being in a band with, to, you know, jam with, but also see him do his side project thing on its own. It's a new thing every time you see him. And then there's Diggs Darcy, who does phenomenal. There was a guy that was playing this past week. I think his name was Dimitri or something like that. But they told me he's been around forever. You know, he's in his early 50s or so, and he's been playing around, and I had never heard of him. But he gets on the stage, and other musicians go up, and they're like, hey, you want me to play bass while you do this? Hey, you want me to drum while I... And then he just takes off playing the guitar and doing vocals, and he's got this rock and roll vibe, and then he'll switch it up to a more softer feel, and just fantastic all around, you know. And it's experiences like that, kind of going back to what you said, it's like, even if you don't know the person, get out there and check it out, because you never know what you might get to see from an artist who's just coming up at, you know, when they have the most energy, they're at their freshest and most inspired times, and put in a format, you know, where it's not a stadium of, you know, 600,000 people or whatever, you know, but it's a more intimate setting where you get right up on the stage to see that person in bloom, you know.
Yeah, in fact, Party at the Moon Tower is very similar experience. Rockwell Superficial, Benji and those guys, Lordy Lordies, you know, a lot of those little circle of guys. Helepolis, whenever they were around still, Phil Weicht and them, progressive kind of metal, very slow build up, but turns into some crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Fantagram.
Yep.
Reptar. St. Paul and the Broken Bones, man. You got a lot.
Yeah, I got them written down. I'm going to check that out for sure. I had a really great opportunity this past weekend to, just with time off that I've had, to go and travel with Johnny and go to all this at the Hard Rock. Roscoe Bandana put on a fantastic show. With their six-man set, my buddy Eddie opened for him, did a great job, and they just rocked out. The next day I went down to Pascagoula. They had a beachfront festival that they do pretty regularly. Saw a band called Fat Man Squeeze.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of Americana folk kind of thing. Lead guy on acoustic guitar, had a mandolin player and an upright bass, just did a lot of, like, you know, fast folk versions of I walked in on I'll Fly Away, you know, and All Along the Watchtower. They closed out with All Along the Watchtower. I mean, just fantastic guys, very charismatic, very fun to be around and all this kind of stuff. And then the following day, down by Fairhope, Magnolia Springs, I did the Magnolia Springs Seafood Festival, where the Mulligan Brothers put on. Fantastic, first time I'd ever seen them. And then Willie Sugar Caps with, you know, which consists also of the two-piece Sugar Cane Jane.
They played here.
Yeah, and you know, Grayson Caps and all those guys, and William Kimbrough and all this. I mean, yeah. Just fantastic. And I wrote up a big piece on it and all that. So just being able to get around and go to new places. I've been to Fairhope, never been to Magnolia Springs. To just go out there and just see all those, you know, they're not necessarily people that I've seen that were doing something completely new, but it's their delivery of doing everything right towards the music that they put out there. And that to me is the biggest reward, is just seeing new places and people, especially those people, because they're, you know, what I would consider local, regional kind of people. So it's fantastic to get out there and see those faces and see them deliver, you know.
Yeah, if anybody could bug Josh Gilley, I'd like Jane Doe's Dead to play one more time. That's it.
See him again.
Yeah, I actually started with Live Sound, and that they were one of the main bands that always hired us with the Do J Patricks.
Jane Doe's Dead.
Yeah,
get them back.
Bug those guys, everybody, please, please.
Right on.
Even for one show. Just one.
That's all we need. We got Rent coming. We're doing a theatrical production with Rent coming on Wednesday, May. What is it? I think it's no, it's actually April 29th and 30th, and then May 4th and 5th. We're gonna do Rent here. It'll be our first real theatrical production, so we're excited about that.
The theater.
Theater. And do some show tunes at the end of the night too. It's gonna be kick ass. Trevor's a big fan of show tunes.
Yeah, every time I sing karaoke, I think the next words out of my mouth is I'm never singing karaoke again.
Isn't that, I'm talking show tunes. We're doing we got a paint party coming.
You'll do any karaoke here? You'll ever host karaoke?
We haven't. We're looking at doing a really cool kind of open mic night, which will be maybe a transition into us looking for our house band. That may be coming soon.
Cool.
Yeah. We got a paint party coming up on Memorial Day weekend. We've got some really cool Latin stuff that we've been doing. I'm gonna be quite honest with you. The first Latin show that we had, we thought it was gonna be a little different than it was. A ton of pretty people show up for the Latin shows. Beautiful people. I don't know where they come from, outside of the area for sure, but ton of beautiful people show up for those Latin shows. So come check out a Latin show.
Yeah, I don't know where they're hiding. Seriously, like I think maybe
they come. There's a bunch of them that travel in from New Orleans and Louisiana, and I mean come in from outside the area for sure.
Yeah, I think I might have recognized 6 people that I've known for years, but other than that, didn't know a single person.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
No, it was really good. You know, at me, if I'm here and happen to see me, I've definitely got a drink in hand, and as the night progresses, I get more talkative. Start trying to buy everyone
Jameson
drinks.
Jameson Joe. I gotta roll.
All right, guys, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks,
Trevor,
Stephen.
Joe, thank you for joining us. Chase, as always, good time.
Yeah, man, for sure.
So thank you all for listening. If you want to hear more episodes, you can go to thecoastalnoise.com, go to the podcast page. And
if you're at the Biloxi Crawfish Festival, we're out there selling tickets to all of our shows. Come find us, Crest Live Tent.
There you have it. Get some Facebook. Go on Facebook. You can like Crest Live, like Coastal Noise. Find people on Twitter, you know what I mean? I'm on Instagram now. I just got on the Instagram train like a month ago. Instagram's pretty dope. I like Instagram stuff. Pretty neat, you know? So there
you
go. You
get on Vine. You ever play with Vine?
No, never done Vine. I can only do so much, man.
I support Crest Live.
All right. Where's the good restaurants around here, guys? I'm hungry.
Let's eat.
There's some nothing more to end with. You want some nothing more?
Yeah.
We're going to go eat, guys.
Let's go eat. Toodles. Goodbye.
That's son of a bitch.
I know. Dude, I'm over here like...
Yeah. You'll definitely be ready.